Hello, everybody, and welcome into Sports Talk on a Thursday. I'm Scott Beatty, along with IlliniHQ.com editor and sports section editor of the News Gazette, Matt Daniels. We're with you here until 6 o'clock, a packed show for you. Going to check on the Chicago scene coming up in a little while with David Schuster from 670 The Score. We'll get the world according to Bob Osmussen later on as Illinois gets ready to take on Ohio State, if we have to. That's
it.
Not a comment on Bob, by the way. That was a comment on football.
Yeah.
And Brian Brooks, head coach of St. Joe Ogden Boys Hoops, will also be a guest as we continue our tour of area hoops, high school basketball season around the corner. How you doing, Matt?
Doing well. It's been an eventful week, and can't believe that it's Thursday already. But, Illinois basketball is back in action on Friday night, and, kind of getting used to, I guess, this Friday-Sunday routine they've got going on the first 2 weeks of the season.
We'll hear from Brad Underwood in just a moment. A couple of headlines to bring you up to date on Illinois State. The Redbirds get a Power 5 victory. They beat South Carolina today, 69-65. In the relocated Puerto Rico tip-off that was moved back to South Carolina near Myrtle Beach, Malik Yarbrough had 18 points, 6 rebounds, and 6 assists. Keyshawn Evans added 17 points. Nice win there for Dan Muller's team on Thursday afternoon.
Exactly. I mean, I know a lot of talk around these parts last March was the potential for Illinois to meet Illinois State in the NIT quarterfinals, and that didn't happen after Illinois State lost a close one to Central Florida, meaning the Illini went to Orlando for that game. But Dan Muller's a quality coach, quality player back in the day at Illinois State, and he's leading his alma mater in the right direction. And that's a huge early season win for the Redbirds. And you look at last year's team, and they had a great overall record, but their strength of schedule seemingly kept them out of the NCAA tournament. Well, if South Carolina goes on and has even a decent season at all, I'm not anticipating Frank Martin's team to go on a Final Four run like they did last year, but that's still a great early season non-conference win for Illinois State that could come in crucial once March rolls around.
How about some quicker baseball games? I know you probably like that in your position.
See, that's weird. Like I was commenting on this, I think on Game 7, the World Series, I was in the office here, and it was just weird watching it because you were hoping that it would get over in time so we could get the score in the paper. I believe it was that Thursday's paper. I can't remember the exact date. But anyway, I think I said out loud to one of my coworkers, I never, growing up, thought I'd watch sports hoping they would get over so they could get in the paper. But that's kind of the reality these days, at least for me.
That's one of those, inside, a new champion is crowned, you know.
Yes, exactly. That's very true.
Headline, last night's decisive Game 7 happened.
There you go.
Well, if Rob Manfred can help you out, he'd likely do it with something like a 20-second pitch clock and limiting trips to the mound with catchers, raising the bottom of the strike zone, all things that were floated last year, but the players' union said no. But management now has the right to impose them unilaterally for 2018. That was part of the whole agreement. So we'll see what comes out of it. Some of the pre-meetings are happening to the winter meetings. So,
see, I don't know if a pitch clock is the right way to go about doing that. To me, that just almost takes away the purity of baseball.
It just doesn't seem to fit an untimed, otherwise untimed game.
I think what would be nice to see is a limit on mound visits, whether it's from either the pitching coach or the catcher or anything like that. And, I mean, today's baseball is played even differently than it was 5 years ago, 10 years ago, especially 20, 25 years ago, where the bullpens are so much an important part of the game, especially when you get to the postseason where they're just utilized. And I mean, look back at the Cubs series against the Nationals and how many times Joe Maddon, made pitching changes there. That's exhibit A, but the pitch clock to me just kind of seems like it just doesn't seem to fit at all.
You know, if you're going to start putting bullpens underneath bleachers like they did in Wrigley, why not just put them underneath the stands? So the pitcher only has to come out of the dugout.
Save some time.
That's an extra like 200, 300 feet.
Cut down on commercial breaks too. That'd help the pace of play as well. And but you look back to it, the playoffs this past fall in Major League Baseball, and if you're a Cubs fan, obviously that win against the Nationals in Game 5 was a classic one. But you look back to Game 5 of the World Series between the Astros and Dodgers, and that went 10 innings, and it was, 5.5 hours long. But that was can't turn off the TV baseball. You have to see what's happening just because of the excitement of that game. So it's kind of a double-edged sword, but I think something needs to be done to help the pace of play in baseball. I just don't think a pitch clock is the solution.
Another full weekend of Illinois athletics on tap, and it starts tomorrow night as Illinois basketball hosts DePaul University for the first time since the late 1950s. There's never been a game between these two clubs in the State Farm Center, or Assembly Hall as it was called, because it didn't exist the last two times, the last time these two teams met. Brad Underwood meeting with the media today, talking, looking back first at the last game for Illinois, a win over UT Martin.
At times, we're pretty good in that. The first half, the Tennessee Martin game, we did some sensational things defensively, and our rotations were tremendous. And other than maybe a few too many turnovers, our efficiency in the half court was tremendous when we ran offense against our zone. It was off the chart. We got the ball to where we wanted it, and we got to the foul line again, and that's a big part of what we do. And really, the only thing I was a little frustrated with throughout that game was our offensive rebounding numbers were way down. That's a big part of what we do. I think we're averaging 12, 13 offensive rebounds, and we need to get that up 5 or 6.
And Brad Underwood talking there in the middle of a beehive. apologize for that hum. It just something in the system that was going on today. Underwood, though, looking at this week's practice.
It's been a solid week of practice, solid week of learning, and again, trying to get guys to understand. I threw a quote at him this week from Grayson Allen that I thought was fabulous in his post-game comments the other night that I think relates very well to our team, and that's he wants to go through a game and be hoarse because he's talking to our freshmen and have no voice. And we keep talking about quiet teams lose, and communication can solve a lot of our problems. But we're getting better, and I'm encouraged and very, very happy to be 2-0.
In case you didn't hear that, Coach Underwood said communication's very important, and he quoted Grayson Allen, who apparently said, "I want to be hoarse after a ball game from communicating so much with my teammates." So that is part of the big aim for the Illini as they get ready for another slate of games. It's a Friday-Saturday duo for the Illini. It's DePaul tomorrow night and Marshall on Sunday. And that brackets Illinois football against Ohio State on Saturday.
And Illinois women's basketball at home on Saturday afternoon against Bradley. Illinois volleyball's home for two matches this weekend. You're not looking for any Illinois sporting events this weekend. They're definitely out in full force on a variety of teams.
And by the way, if you didn't catch it, programming update, Illinois volleyball, you will hear it here on DWS. They moved up the start time to 6 o'clock tomorrow night. Our game day coverage for Illinois basketball will start at the same time on our sister station, Light Rock 97.5. Here, after volleyball tomorrow night, we will join up with the basketball game coverage, and we will have our post-game show as well. And tomorrow night, after the football game, here on DWS, we will break away from the post-game show and go to Illinois volleyball. But the post-game show will continue on our sister station, Light Rock 97.5. So you'll have you'll have more choices than normal. So it's a bonus. Let's get a look at the Chicago scene with David Schuster from 670 The Score. He will join us next.
Join me, Dave Ramsey, tonight on News Talk 1400 DWS.
523, 35 degrees at Sports Talk here on this Thursday. We get out of our little corner of the world and venture up to Chicago now as David Schuster, friend of the station from 670 The Score, joins us to talk all things Chicago. David, good to hear from you as always. Baseball season in the rearview mirror, but you keep busy, I suppose.
Yeah, it's mediocrity time. and sometimes that's being too generous in saying that, but yeah, nothing really good in Chicago at the moment. Baseball, of course, is over. The football team, much like your football team down there, is really going nowhere. The Bears are 3-6. That game against Green Bay the other day, I think that was basically their death knell for the season. Basketball, the Bulls, I mean, they're already just scouting the top draft picks, you know, for the NBA draft, which won't come up until May. So that's something to look forward to. The rest of the season, forget about it. And then hockey, the Blackhawks have just sort of been pitter-pattering around. Nice win last night, but sort of underachieved at least so far. So really nothing great on the horizon up here.
So you're saying it's going to be a long winter?
It already is. And it's not even winter yet.
Well, since you mentioned the Bears there first, is John Fox going to be shown the door now? That game seemed to stir a lot of people to think, yeah, now he's done. Do you see it that way?
I think so. It's up to Ryan Pace and then further up the totem pole to see what they want to do. But, I mean, take a look at his record. He's got a winning percentage under 300 in his 3 years here. Sorry, that's not good enough. Yeah, he might have taken two other franchises to the Super Bowl and lost them both, by the way. But he hasn't done anything here to really stand out. The team this year, and they weren't going anywhere, but, I mean, they needed to play better than what they have. I mean, it was a goofy decision to not play Trubisky until finally Mike Glennon was so awful that they had no choice but to put Trubisky in. They probably should have put him in earlier, but I don't know. Again, John Fox, winning percentage of .285. It's just not good enough. And ultimately, I like to see them personally get an offensive-minded coach, a quarterback whisperer, maybe a somebody like a John Gruden or somebody of that ilk, because if Trubisky is going to be your franchise quarterback and player going forward, you better have somebody who can get through to him. And that means another offensive coordinator or at least a head coach that can get through to this guy and make him what they hope that he will be. Right now, he's not anywhere near what they hope that he's going to be.
What do you see as John Fox's primary issues? Obviously, the losses, but beyond that.
Losing. Yeah, thank you. I don't know. I mean, goofy decisions during the game. I mean, you know, what happened the other day was bad enough, but there have been other bad decisions, in-game bad decisions that he's made over his tenure here in Chicago. I don't know. There's just nothing to be inspired about. And, you know, again, losing is the ultimate, you know, win or, you know, something to keep you in favor or not in favor, obviously, both as a player and as a head coach. But I don't know. He just doesn't inspire me. He doesn't inspire the fan base. And I don't really know if he inspires the fan or the players themselves either.
So is it safe to say, David, that what the Cubs do in the offseason for the second straight year is going to kind of dominate the sports attention for the next 3 to 4 months in Chicago?
Yeah, I think it will. I mean, already, you know, normally the general managers' meetings, which are almost like, you know, nothing, like footnote at best, but there's a lot of coverage down there. Both the papers had a lot of people down there, even some of the TV stations. The winter meetings will be sometime early next month. Yeah, I mean, the Cubs have to refortify themselves. I mean, they have to get another starting pitcher or two. They have to figure out their closer. I don't think they're going to give the money that Wade Davis wants. And, you know, they might give away, not give away, but they might trade away some of their young assets to give some of the players or positions that I just made mention of. So, yeah, likely going into the first of the calendar year, probably the Cubs will still get a lot of the headlines here, no doubt.
Who would you like to see into a Cubs uniform, especially with all of the free agents that will become available after 2018?
Yeah, you know, this isn't the greatest free agent crop. I mean, Jake Arrieta is going to get some money from somebody, and I don't think it's going to be the Cubs. Yu Darvish sort of fell on his face and had to apologize, to the fan base or, you know, his country people. I'm not even sure who he was apologizing to. So, you know, I don't think he's the answer as a starting pitcher. They might have to make some trades to get a starting pitcher, to get a closer. Zach Britton's name has been brought up for the umpteenth time as a trade partner with Baltimore. But again, you're going to have to give up some assets, some young ball players, whether it's a Baez, whether it's a Russell, whether it's a Schwarber or an Ian Happ. Somebody's going to have to go if you're going to make some trade to get a starting pitcher and or bullpen guy. So I don't know ultimately what Theo Epstein's going to do, but then again, he's got those three world championships, so I'm certainly not going to tell him what to do.
By the way, David, we're just seeing coming across the newswire now that Giancarlo Stanton has won the MVP award in the National League. He edges out Joey Votto of the Reds. Are you a voter in that?
No, I am not. Certainly he had the numbers to do it, but that sort of reminds me of the year Andre Dawson won it with the unbelievable numbers, but on a team that really wasn't going anywhere. So I'm a little surprised. I mean, there were some guys, and maybe they all canceled each other out on both Colorado and Arizona. I'm surprised that – and Votto had a great season as well, don't get me wrong. good for Giancarlo Stanton. I hope he ends up on a winning ball club, because it just sure looks like they've been putting him through the ringer all during the regular season, now here in the postseason. I just hope he ends up on a winning team.
Well, I wonder if Andre Dawson partly endeared himself for signing a blank contract back then.
Yeah. Well, he had certainly endeared himself not only to the fan base, but certainly the ownership of the Cubs at the time. They ended up giving him $500,000, which is nothing to sneeze at. But, you know, he could have gotten a lot more on the open market, you know, if he didn't make that kind of offer. And then, of course, he goes off and wins the MVP award that season. So it was certainly a win-win situation for the Cubs that year.
So is Giancarlo Stanton in a Cardinals uniform? Is it too far-fetched to think he's in a Cubs uniform? I don't know that the Cubs spend that kind of cash to add that to the lineup, even as great as he would be. The Cubs need pitching more.
They need pitching right now, and unfortunately they have an anchor, and I mean that when it comes to money also, in right field right now, in Jason Hayward. I mean, you know, if you can move him somehow, some way, you'd have an opening in the outfield for Stanton, or maybe even further down the road, one more year, Bryce Harper. There's been a lot of talk about that, and I mean, Harper's pulled everybody's chains by constantly wearing a Cubs hat here and there. I don't know if he really is doing that just for just like pulling people's chains, or just if he really means it. I mean, he is obviously very close with Chris Bryant. They grew up literally blocks away from each other and played on little league teams all throughout their upbringing in Las Vegas. So somewhere down the road, you know, they'll go after another high price free agent, but I just don't think it's going to be Stanton this offseason.
David, obviously Chicago's a pro sports town, and rightfully so, but what can you tell us about DePaul, a Blue Demons team that's coming to Champaign on Friday night to play the Illini?
Well, I saw them in their opening game in the new Wintrust Arena building, and that, by the way, that building is really nice. Not the easiest place to get to, but still really, really nice. They're a young team. You know, Notre Dame, who beat them that day, was a much better basketball team, in my opinion. I don't know what to tell you. They hoist up a lot of three-pointers. They have a big man in the middle who kept missing shots from literally 2 feet away. What I'm trying to say is they fit in perfectly right now to the Chicago sports landscape. They're pretty mediocre themselves.
David, I know obviously Lovie Smith had his tenure with the Bears there, and he's in his second season in Illinois, and he's playing so many young players this year and so many true freshmen and all. But are you surprised, or what were kind of your expectations for Lovie Smith when he got the job here at Illinois?
Personally, not much at all. I think he came to college because they made him a godfather offer that he couldn't refuse. I think he's still the highest paid state employee, if I'm not mistaken. So listen, I mean, somebody offered me that kind of money, I'd do it too. I still think he ultimately would like to be back, you know, with the big guys in the NFL, but you know, I'm sure he'll do the best he can and wants to do the best he can, but you know, let's face it, Illinois is just not a football factory down there right now. And if he's going to play all those young players, he's certainly going to suffer a lot of losses. So maybe next year, maybe the year after, if he's still there.
The basketball side of things, has Illinois basketball made a dent in the media market up there from terms of coverage?
Not really, to be honest with you. I mean, you know, if they start winning in their heyday, you know, going back to the flying Illini in 89 and some of the other teams, yeah, I mean, winning is contagious. If you win, you know, certainly down in Champaign, people will make notice up here. But if you don't win, no offense, guys, it's just not going to move the needle at all up here. So hopefully football, basketball, or anything else, they start winning, and then they'll certainly be noticed. But honestly, not at this juncture.
And the college basketball still has a big following up there. It's just the teams that people follow are kind of spread out all over the place. I mean, you're within 2-3 hours of several Big Ten schools, and you just had the Champions Classic that featured three non-Big Ten schools and major teams.
And those were good games, by the way. I mean, I've been to those games at the United Center for the last, I don't know, half dozen years. Usually early in the season, even the best teams don't play each other, you know, play well, even against each other. But those two games the other night were really excellent basketball games. So, yeah, Northwestern, you know, came in with a lot of acclaim. They had two close losses, and then they lose last night. So they'll lose a little bit of their luster right off the bat. Ultimately, you know, I think they'll be an NCAA tournament team. I can't speak towards Illinois. I really don't know them well enough at this juncture. I wish this new coach well. He seems like the kind of coach that players will want to play for because it'll be fast break offense. But again, you have to win for it to be contagious. And right now, we'll just have to wait and see.
All right. And then back to bad basketball in the Chicago Bulls. Is the soap opera of Portis and Mirotić resolved itself yet?
Not even close. And, you know, this thing could be months and months, unfortunately. You know, contractually, you cannot trade Nico Mirotić until the middle of January because he signed a contract in the off season as a free agent. So you can't peddle him if that's even what you want to do. And they've tried in the past, but have had no takers. So it's a really bad, bad situation. They're still not talking to each other. You know, I was even there today, Nico Mirotić, you could see him way in the background, but not out on the court. He's keeping his distance, at least from Bobby Portis. He's not going on this upcoming road trip, so they'll continue to be kept apart from each other. The Bulls would like them to get together at this juncture, and they've even asked Mirotić if he wants to talk to the media to give his side of things, but so far that hasn't happened either. So it really is an awful situation. I mean, the team, no offense, they're just not good. I mean, and I'm being kind when I say that. They're going to lose 60 games easy. They will hopefully have a very – well, they will have a very high draft pick, maybe as high as number one. And this is a good year to do it because – have that high draft pick because this is going to be a very good crop coming out both collegiately and across the pond from Europe. But this bad situation added on to all those losses just makes it for really an untenable situation for Bulls management, although they put themselves a little bit in – you know, on the forefront of having this happen. We'll just have to wait and see, but it looks like it's not going to be resolved anytime soon. And like I said, it could go all the way at least to the middle of January. And if they can't find a trading partner for, let's say, Mirotić, it's possible they might just release him, and then you're eating a lot of money at that point because they signed him for a two-year, $27 million contract, and they wouldn't have gotten 1 minute of basketball out of him if that's the case.
And with all this drama, are you contractually obligated to care?
Well, I'm contractually obligated to show up. But then again, I lived this through the Tim Floyd era.
Oh, yeah.
You know, that was pretty bad. And after they had won all those championships and then to go through that, you know, 5 or 6 year stretch, that was like going from the penthouse to the outhouse. So I'm used to it.
David Schuster from 670 The Score. You can follow him on Twitter at ShoeMouse. Where'd that name come from, by the way?
Well, the first four letters of my last name, and then I was working at Disney at the time when emails came into Vogue a long, long time ago. So they put Mouse at the end of the first four letters of my name, so I just became ShoeMouse. Mouse for Disney.
What were you doing at Disney?
Well, I was working for ESPN at the
time. Oh, gotcha. I see. Disney. I was thinking you were, you know, putting people on rides in the Magic Kingdom or something.
Well, I did put on the goofy uniform every now and then at Epcot and walked around. But besides that, no, I just worked for ESPN.
Well, goofy or not, David Schuster, we always appreciate a bit of your time.
Anytime, guys.
Thanks, right. David.
Thanks much. David Schuster from 670 The Score. I almost went and worked at Disney World when I was in college. I think
I don't know how to segue out of that, Scott.
I have no idea.
All right.
But it sounds like there's not a whole lot going on up in Chicago right now.
There's just a lot of bad teams, and you know, it's a town that right now, or a city right now, that is very invested in what the Cubs are going to do this offseason, because the pro sports teams that are playing right now are just underachieving. So there's going to be a lot of not a lot of interest.
And I think Sports Illustrated did the same thing that they did for Houston for the Chicago White Sox. I think they said, here's your 2020 World Series champs.
The White Sox are definitely trending that way with the way that they've built up their farm system and kind of bought all into this overall rebuild of the franchise. So, you know, who knows? Maybe in 3 years we'll be celebrating another White Sox World Series title. They did win one in 2005. I know a lot of people forget about that sometimes.
ESPN
yes.
Sometimes forgets mm-hmm. about it, apparently. But somewhere, Marcus Jackson is smiling. We're back in a moment. Bob Osmussen will be here. We'll get the world according to Bob. .543 on Sports Talk. Bob Osmussen joins me, Scott, and Matt Daniels here for the world according to Bob. Bob, about to make the trek out to Columbus for the weekend against the as the Illini take on the Ohio State Buckeyes. Spread somewhere around 40 points.
That's a lot.
Would you take the over or the under there?
I would not comment because I can't talk about betting, but that seems like a lot of points.
Yeah.
So how about that? Seems like a lot.
My bad.
Too many. No, that's right.
Who is going to be the quarterback for the Illini?
Great question.
Because
might be you.
Cam Thomas and Jeff George apparently didn't practice, at least on Tuesday.
Well, I think they're kind of keeping the thing wide open to see what they think, but I don't think they have a great idea right now what they're going to do, and does it really matter?
Yeah, I don't know if it does at all. You could throw one of the walk-ons out there maybe in the quarterback room just because Ohio State's going to come in there and they still think in Columbus that they have an outside shot.
They do have a shot.
At reaching the college football playoff if they win out. They beat Illinois and then beat Michigan next Saturday, and then they're in the Big Ten title game. And if they take down likely Wisconsin, they could find their way into the Final Four depending on the rest of the season.
Is Ohio State rooting for Michigan to beat Wisconsin this weekend?
Oh, maybe not. Doesn't matter. They got a shot at both. It doesn't matter. The main thing for them, they got to win out, obviously. But they got a shot. I think, obviously, the couple teams ahead of them, Clemson and Miami play. So one of them is losing, for sure. They're going to play an ACC title game, so they're gone. Alabama and Auburn play, so one of them is gone.
But would a two-win or two-loss Ohio State team be more – should a two-loss Ohio State team be in the playoff over a one-loss Miami or Clemson team?
Yes.
Why?
Yes. Because they're better. If you watch them on TV, watch them in person, which I'm going to see Saturday – physically, they're better. They're as good as Clemson. I love Clemson last year. This year's Clemson has dropped off. Miami is a really good team. They're not quite old Miami. They're getting there. I think they're going to be great with Mark Richt, but they're not quite there. So I think Ohio State, if they have two losses and win out like they've won, these games the last couple weeks have been really impressive other than Iowa. Iowa is kind of a don't get that game. What happened there?
Yeah. Well, it's football, I guess.
It's football. Just,
but the playoff guy that came on TV the other night and said, well, we don't look at margin of victory. We just look at
– they do. That's a lie.
The convincing of win.
It's a lie.
He said
huge
something
lie.
To the fact where he said it's both. You know, he said, we don't look at points, but we
so
look
he,
at the
he
win.
Was, he was talking out of both sides of his mouth.
Well, that's just not right. If they beat Illinois by 40, they beat Michigan by 30, that's beat Wisconsin by 30, that's important. Because I think when Ohio State got the playoffs a couple of years ago, it was that –
so if a two-loss Ohio State team wins out and wins the Big Ten title game, but say Wisconsin loses to Michigan, but then wins the Big Ten title game, one-loss Wisconsin team, should they be in the playoff?
Probably not, because their body of work's not as good as Ohio State's.
And they're a victim of their schedule?
They're a victim of their non-conference, which they control some. Ohio State played Oklahoma. They lost. That's bad, obviously. They played Army, which is really having a great year. So that's two pretty good games for them. One loss, one win. Yeah. Wisconsin played a really cruddy, not their fault, BYU.
They did beat Iowa, who trounced Ohio State, though.
Well, again, kind of weird. Yeah, you're right. It's hard. But when I watch Ohio State, I think, wow, they're really good.
Does it matter, though, is anyone going to beat Alabama?
It doesn't matter. Well, in the final?
Anytime.
Yes, I mean, I think that can happen.
Okay.
I don't think it will happen. But I think last year I was praying for Clemson. They came through. I thought they were better. They had a great quarterback. I think what you need to beat Alabama is that quarterback that has the game of his life. Like I think Watson had last year for Clemson. Mm-hmm. You need that guy. But it can happen.
How about happier thoughts and remembering 10 years ago?
Right.
When Illinois beat Ohio State in Columbus and Jay Layman was hoisted up.
I just talked to Mike Ware. Just talked to him. Mike Ware is the one lifting up Jay. I just talked to him right before I got on the radio here with you guys. He's doing great. He owns a business up in the Chicago area, has a three-month-old daughter. He's married, and he's loves that moment. He said he just saw that game on TV the other day. So it was the best I've ever seen Illinois play by far.
And what a moment, what a feeling that must have been, not just for the players but the fans. How many traveled over there?
And there was a couple thousand. But the cool thing was I was down in the field for like the last 10 minutes of the game because we do that.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just great. The crowd was just making so much noise. They're so desperate for their team to win, and play after play after play, Illinois would not be stopped. Juice Williams, 3rd and 8, got 9 yards. 3rd and 9, got 10 yards. It was like, that was crazy. So you knew something special was going on, and it did. It was the coolest game I've ever seen. I didn't really care who won the game, but it was really neat to see a team like Illinois that had been so down come back and play so well. Tells me it can happen again.
How many times did you rewrite your game story that day, Bob?
Not many, because I thought, you know, pregame, I picked Illinois to win. So I thought they had a chance. First quarter, first play, actually, or first couple plays, Ohio State just went down the field and scored right away. But Illinois bounced back and scored right away. So it's like, okay, ball game. It was like the Rocky scene where the manager says he doesn't think it's a show. He thinks it's a fight. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden, that's what Illinois was in. They were in a fight. They played. They played great. Two big things early in the game. Vontae Davis and Aurelius Spann got hurt. Knocked out of the game, I think both concussions. So guys that had to come in for them played, made great plays. Miami Thomas played a corner, played mm-hmm. great at the pick. And I think either Jacob Willis or
– Kevin Gamble.
Maybe Kevin not Kevin Gamble. Yeah, close. Brian Gamble.
Yes, there
Brian
we go.
Brian Gamble, a touchdown, Ohio guys. So a lot of things had to – perfect storm had to hop in for Illinois to play like that, but it was great to see it.
And that is the beauty of college sports.
It's why we love it. It's why I don't really – I like reality shows some. I'll watch them, not much. But to me, that's the ultimate reality show right there.
Ultimate reality show. I like yep. that. Bob, appreciate your time as
Anytime.
Always.
Time.
Safe trip. To Columbus.
Thank you.
Yep, indeed. Bob Osmussen covers Illinois football for the News Gazette. Our high school tour of boys basketball teams in the area continues. St. Joe Ogden up next and head coach Brian Brooks. .553 Sports Talk. Scott Beatty and Matt Daniels with you. Not a big surprise on the American League side. Just announced that Jose Altuve of the Houston Astros is the MVP in the American League side. Giancarlo Stanton announced the National League winner a little bit earlier this hour. High school basketball preview continues. Next up for us tonight, Brian Brooks, head coach of the St. Joe Ogden Spartans. Brian, thanks so much for your time. Appreciate it. You guys at St. Joe Ogden are 2 years removed from a state championship, last year bowing out in the regionals and the semis to PBL. Where's the program at as you head into 2017-18?
You know, we feel like program-wise we're in really good shape. You know, we look over the years and where our players have gotten us over the last 14 years. You know, it's been a lot of accomplishments by our guys over those 14 years. And, you know, we're in a completely different place in 2017-18 than we were in 2003-04 when we first got here. And huge credit to our kids in that regard.
How have you built up the program? What's been your philosophy to do that?
You know, our biggest thing when we first got here was we wanted to change the mindset and the culture of our guys that, you know, to think not just in terms of our area and you know, doing some things in our area, but to be a name that people, you know, other programs knew across the state and to put their name out there as a St. Joseph Ogden basketball where, you know, whether you're the northern part or the southern part of the state, you know, at our level in 2A basketball, that people knew who we were and we were contenders, you know, in the postseason. And you know, our guys have been able to do that. They've set obviously some high bars here the last few years. And again, it wasn't, you know, those guys reaped the rewards of that, but there was a lot of hard work by some guys before them to, you know, to put them in that position. And we're really proud of all of our guys over the years.
So where do you draw your inspiration from? What's your philosophy as a coach and who mentored you or taught you in that?
That's a great question. You know, growing up, I grew up in Peoria. Peoria is a huge basketball town, and it's in Peoria everybody played. So, you know, I that's probably where I got my love of the game. You know, I had some good experiences as a player there in Peoria. But also, you know, when I got into coaching, I think there's two guys that really were huge influences on me when I was an assistant, and that's Jeff Coger and John Hampton, and worked under both those guys at Riverton High School early on in my coaching career as assistant coach. And they were completely different in different ways, but both were outstanding head coaches. And, you know, I'd consider Coach Hampton to be, even though he's retired from coaching, one of the best, if not the best, around in the state of Illinois.
Talking with Brian Brooks, he's the head coach of the St. Joe Ogden Spartans boys basketball team. And in your spare time, you're superintendent over there as well. How do you balance it all?
Well, it's actually the reverse, but
I know
I don't consider basketball a job. That's my release time in terms of, you know, you just kind of clear your head, and I get to, you know, for a couple hours a day, I get to work with kids and directly, and I mean, that's why I got an education in the first place. So, you know, basketball's been a family thing for us. You know, whether I was teaching or an administrator, and if it wasn't a family thing with my wife and my three kids, I couldn't do this.
Who will be some of the key guys for you on the floor this year?
We return two starters, Jack Cook and Jordan Brooks, and obviously we'll be, you know, hoping for big things from both of them. And you know, both played pretty significant roles for us last year, and Jack was kind of getting his feet wet as a sophomore last year, but has made some big strides. And you know, we got some guys that and Riley Baker, who's a senior, who came out of the bench for us last year and had a really good second half of the season. And Bryce Hakey did the same thing as a junior last year for us. And, you know, Joel Orcutt's going to be a newcomer in terms of seeing a lot of court time at the varsity level, and 6'4", 6'5", junior for us that, you know, gives us some length and has really, really progressed over his first 2 years here. And, you know, we'll have some sophomores, I think, that at least a couple that are, if not two or three, that are going to be significant players for us probably at some point during the season. So we're pretty excited about our group. A lot of inexperience, but we like, you know, we like what we've seen so far.
Brian Brooks, head coach of the St. Joe Ogden Spartans boys basketball team, thanks for your time. Best of luck in the new season.
Thank you very much. Thanks for having me on.
And most everybody gets started next week. A lot of area teams go to some Thanksgiving tournaments around here. Matt, I don't know what the let's see, is Collinsville? No, that's over winter break. Collinsville has a big one.
Collinsville Holiday Tournament. Yeah, that's over Christmas.
Centralia, Bloomington.
State Farm Classic out in Bloomington Normal, and closer to home, Bismarck Henning and Heritage host a 10-team holiday tournament as well. So there's no shortage of tournaments around the Christmas time, along with Thanksgiving. Gibson City's hosting their 46th annual Thanksgiving tournament next week, and Tri-County's got one. There's a boatload of area Thanksgiving tournaments next week.
And by the way, speaking of hoops and preps coverage, Colin Likas is back with the News Gazette. He's going to be taking over that beat as you wean off Anthony Zillis, and he'll be expanding his duties into more multimedia stuff and video and that kind of, and he'll work a little bit news side too. But welcome back, Colin.
Yeah, Colin's been here since Monday. He was a sports copy editor for us for 3 years. Hated to see him go when he departed, but we're lucky to have him back. And you can you've been reading his stuff all week, and we'll do through the rest of the week. He'll be in Athens on Sunday for the Tuscola football Class 1A state semifinal game before turning his full attention to the winter sports.
Matt, we'll talk again tomorrow.
All right, sounds good, Scott.
Appreciate it always. Thanks to our guest David Schuster from 670 The Score as well, Bob Osmussen, Brian Brooks from St. Joe Ogden. If you missed this show or any of them, there'll be a podcast at our website, wdws.com. You can also subscribe to us in iTunes, not only for this show, but many others as well. Evan Connor, producer-engineer tonight. Thanks to all of you for being a part of things. CBS World News Roundup is next. We'll have sports talk again tomorrow, then Illinois volleyball and DWS, and basketball coverage will begin at 6 o'clock tomorrow night on our Light Rock 97.5 sister station. It's News Talk 1400 WDWS Champaign-Urbana News Gazette Media Station. It's 6 o'clock. Good night.